Dean, our usher, is going to be passing out a handout. Mr. Norris, I need one also. I didn't get one. I should have brought it up already. Mr. Mark also needs one here. We were going to wait and use the handout in a little while, but I know that you're going to probably read it now anyway, so we'll read it now also with you when they get them passed out. In Luke chapter 18, there's a passage of scripture that Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a publican that go to the church to pray. And in this story, you see two different types of people. They're entering into the same spot, but two different types of prayer. And you also see two different types of results to this prayer. And tonight, what we're going to be looking at is a message entitled Pride versus Brokenness. Pride versus Brokenness. Now, it was just last minute that I decided to make a PowerPoint presentation out of it because we have a lot of verses that we're going to be going through. So if there is something that's misspelled on it, I apologize. I didn't get a chance to go through and spell check it. I actually forgot that. So I think it should be spelled right, but on the PowerPoint slide there. But if not, you have to forgive me for that. So well, we're going to look at this handout real quick. And then we're going to get into the message called Pride versus Brokenness. Now, as we go through this handout, this was not something that I wrote. This is something that helped me and helped I enjoyed when I read it. It's by an evangelist and with Christ Life Ministries. I believe his name is Harold Vaughn. And so I wanted to make sure you didn't think I was really smart and I wrote this myself. But we'll go through this together. And like I said, one of the things that concerns me about our church and churches in America today, but especially about our church and about individuals and Christians, is the problem of pride. Many times pride is something that enters into a Christian's life and they're even not aware of it. And it's very destructive. It's destructive for individuals, it's destructive for families, and it's destructive for churches. And here today, we're going to look at pride versus brokenness. And we've been talking about brokenness for a few weeks before the revival and the fact that we should be broken about our sins and our hearts should be broken about our sins. And we talked about it in Psalms 51. We talked about how Hannah was barren, and because Hannah's barrenness, it broke her to the point that she carried her burden to the Lord. And the thing that I'm saying that we should be brokenhearted about is when we're unfruitful, because many times we're barren in our Christian lives. Now, fruit is two different things when I talk about in the Bible. First, there's the fruits of the Spirit. If you're living for the Lord and you have the Holy Spirit of God residing in you and you're controlled or filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be bearing the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all this. That's some fruit that you can produce. But also there is fruit that involves when it brings other people to Jesus Christ too. And many times Christians today are barren from the fruits of the Spirit or barren from producing fruit in their Christian lives, but it just doesn't bother many people. And tonight I'd like to look at this passage, these things, and then we're going to get into this story about the Pharisee and the publican and look at a couple of different things. It's a pretty simple message tonight. Most of it's going to be up there. Talk about different characteristics of pride and characteristics of humbleness. Let's look at this pride versus brokenness here. And I like these. I printed it off, and the reason why is because I want you to take it with you. I want you to look at it now and read along with me, but also I want you to take it home and consider and ask the Lord, you know, does any of this apply to me? Is there something here that I should, you know, work on our pride? Because pride is a horrible thing, and many times people, instead of asking the question, does pride exist in my life, it'd be better to ask the question, where does pride exist in my life? Because so often there is something that we're prideful over. And God wants us to be a humble people. Let's look at pride grieves God, brokenness secures grace. I'm not going to give much commentary on these different things because they're self-explanatory and because of the sake of time. Pride sets you up for a fall. Brokenness prepares the way for God's favor. Pride keeps you from praying. Brokenness causes you to pray. Pride blinds you to your wicked ways. Brokenness opens your eyes to your wicked ways. If you think that you have arrived and that you're like Jesus Christ completely and totally and there's nothing left for you to work on, there's probably some pride in your life. And I'm not saying that you can't be walking with God and right with the Lord, but when you're broken and you're right with the Lord and walking with God, you know you have utter dependence upon him, that you have to lean to him and you need his help. That's pride keeps you from seeking God's face. Brokenness encourages you to seek God's face. Pride is characterized by a stiff neck. Brokenness is exemplified by a bowed head. Pride fragments families. Brokenness reconciles families. I've learned this about families. Someone in the family is going to have to be the mature one. Even sometimes it's the people at less fault, but there's someone that's going to have to say that I'm going to keep my family together. I'm going to do my best, going to be as close as I can to God to make my family work. And sometimes that means that even sometimes the people that are at less fault asking for forgiveness and seeking God on behalf of their family. Pride generates contention. Brokenness invites unity. Pride glorifies in self-will, self-effort, and self-exaltation. Brokenness glories in the cross. Pride reflects the nature of Satan. I think pride was one of the first sins ever mentioned when Lucifer wanted to exalt himself above God. Brokenness mirrors the image of Christ. Remember, he took on the form of a servant, humbled himself. Pride takes credit for accomplishments. Brokenness recognizes all good accomplishments have their source outside of self. Any good gift we have, it comes from God. Pride seeks recognition from men. Brokenness seeks approval from God. Pride will make you cover up and hide from others. Brokenness frees you to be transparent and honest. Pride leads you to blame circumstance or others for your failure. Brokenness accepts responsibility for your failure. Pride breeds suspicion of fellow believers. Brokenness brings suspicion of self to anyone else than anyone else. Pride makes you think more highly of yourself. Brokenness enables you to think more highly of others. Pride is quick to detect pride in others. Brokenness is quick to identify pride in oneself. If we're a prideful person, it's easy to look at others and blame them and point to them for being prideful. But if we're broken, we'll see that we are in need of God's help with the pride we have in our own lives. Pride makes you critical. Brokenness makes you compassionate. Pride hastily applies preaching to others. Brokenness is quick to internalize preaching. Pride easily detects the speck in your brother's eye. Brokenness readily detects the beam in your own eye. I like that one. Pride puffs up and swells your head. Brokenness brings perspective and breaks your heart. Pride deals with sin in general. Brokenness deals with sin in specifics. Pride deals with the fruit of sin. Brokenness deals with the root of sin. Pride will cause you to deal with things that are respectable. Brokenness causes you to deal with what is real. I love the passage of scripture when David talks about in Psalms chapter 51. He says, he desires truth in the inward parts. We like to take care of the fruits, the outward things, but God desires that we deal with the inward things. Pride brings crustiness and hardness. Ever met a hard or crusty Christian? Brokenness brings pliability. Pride is consumed with I. Brokenness is consumed with not I, but Christ. Pride seeks prominence for self. Brokenness seeks the preeminence of Christ. Pride makes the faults of others look big and my faults look small. Brokenness makes my sins look big and the faults of others seem small. Pride defends its rights. Brokenness dies to its rights. Pride makes me look down on others. Brokenness makes me look up to heaven. Pride keeps me from asking forgiveness when I have done wrong. Brokenness makes me eager to humble myself when I have done wrong. Pride breeds complacency. Brokenness births hunger and thirst for spiritual horizons. Pride covers sins, but brokenness discovers sins. Pride barricades you from God. Brokenness demolishes the barrier or any barrier between you and God. Pride builds a wall between us and others, but brokenness builds bridges between us and others. Now tonight when we look at this, this is really good, but what I want you to do right now is take it and put it away so you don't be looking at it during the rest of the message. Put it in your Bible, go home and look at it, consider it. There's a lot of passages of scriptures you can apply there. Consider taking the whole time and just looking at that, looking at it with scripture, But the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture, and we see so many of the different contradictions that are found in this passage of Scripture. But a couple things I want to help you, hopefully help you with tonight, is pride's ultimate goal is to preserve self. It's to protect self. It's to promote self. It may take many different forms, but ultimately it must preserve, protect, and promote itself. What happens then with pride, you're robbing God of the glory that belongs solely to him and to him alone. Pride was birthed with the original sin when Lucifer attempted to ascribe glory to himself that was God's alone, and pride continues to be the great divide between God and man today. Now remember, how do you get to Christ? Is when we of ourselves come to an understanding of our sinfulness. And we realize that we have no possible way to remedy our problem apart from admitting our own inability and his ability. When we became a Christian, you had to realize that there was nothing you could do to get yourself to heaven. Because of your sin, you were lost, and you cried out to God because of what he did for you. You were empty of pride. Reminds me of an illustration. There was a story that told about a conversation a flight attendant had with Muhammad Ali once. Muhammad Ali was a young and arrogant boxer, and Ali was on a plane and he refused to fasten the seatbelt. Flight attendant approached him and came up to him and said, "Sir, will you please buckle your seatbelt?" He looked at the woman, snarly said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She looked at him and said, "Superman doesn't need a plane either. Please buckle your seatbelt." You know, so there are a lot of things in this world that we don't think we need, but the only way that we got saved is by realizing that we are sinners and we can't save ourselves. Now we need to live our Christian life the same way. It's utterly dependent upon God. We might say, "Hey, I don't need." We need God to live this Christian life. Now, the idea of pride has a lot of neat illustrations, so I got a few here that I think you might enjoy. First, who is more prideful? There's a story told about a CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to get gas. He went inside to pay, and when he came out, he noticed his wife was talking to a service station attendant. She had dated him earlier before she had met her husband. CEO got in the car, and the two drove away in silence. He was feeling pretty good about himself, so he finally spoke up. He says, "I bet I know what you are thinking. I bet you were thinking you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a service station attendant." The wife quickly said, "No, I was thinking if I had married him, he'd be a Fortune 500 CEO, and you'd be the service station attendant." Now, who's being more prideful there? They're both being prideful, and trying to figure out who is the less prideful even makes them more prideful. Smartest kid in the class. After 2 weeks of pre-K, Linda Wilbanks, the 5-year-old grandson, came home with a very mighty big compliment. Linda Wilbanks' 5-year-old grandson came home with a mighty big compliment. Nick told his grandmother that he was the smartest kid in the class. With a deep sense of pride, Linda asked him, "Was that what your teacher said?" Nick replied, he said, "No, I had to tell her." Very prideful. Now, there was one last one that I didn't put on our list, and it's going to be on our next slide. And this is referring to this story here. I think it refers to the story here. We see pride compares self to others. It says, "I'm smarter than you. I'm cleaner than you. I'm stronger than you." But brokenness compares self with Christ and concludes, "I am the chief of sinners." Now, who wrote that? Paul. Now, believe me, most of us would love to have the resume or the Christian life that the impact that Paul had. He says, "I'm the chief of sinners." And here in this story, we see a comparison of two different people approaching God, but one never makes it. Let's look here in Luke chapter 18. We'll start in verse number 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous." Now, you know, so many times we think we're good, we think we're okay, and despise others. So that doesn't apply to me. I don't despise others. I don't look down on others. If we think that we're okay in ourselves, we're believing others aren't. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, these are two completely different people. One is a religious leader of the day. One is one who knew the Bible or inside and out, and one who was looked upon as being a real, real religious person close to God. Believe me, looks can be deceiving, though. And the other a publican. Publican is a person who pretty much turned his back on his country and began working for the Roman government, began to collect taxes. They would cheat many times the Jewish people, and they were looked down upon, disgusted by the other Jews. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, and that's the point. His prayer never reached past the rafters, never made it to God, because pretty much all he was doing was praying to himself. It says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as others men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So we see here, where is the brokenness? We don't see him praying for someone else. He's not praying for the extortioners. He's not praying for the unjust. He's not praying for the adulterers. He's not doing these things in private. Instead, he speaks boldly those things he had been doing. Verse 13, you see the second man here. The publican, it says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Tonight, when we look at this, look at some characteristics of pride and some characteristics of humbleness, I want us to remember this passage of Scripture and some of the things that we heard before. And ask the Lord to take a deep look inside of our hearts. Because this man, this Pharisee, thought he was right with God. He thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was it, the tops. But the other man was the one that was justified. The other man was the one that God spoke with and dealt with. It's because he saw himself, who he was, and who God was. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, I do pray that you help us. Lord, this issue of pride is something that can really damage a church and damage families. And Lord, I pray that we look and understand that you resist the proud and that you give grace to the humble. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help us to take a deep, honest look at ourselves and see if we're prideful in any area. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight we're going to look at just simply the messages, some characteristics of pride. I think there's about three of those. They'll be on the screen behind you because there's verses that go with it. And there's going to be some characteristics of humbleness, the benefits of being a humble person. The first thing I want you to think about is some of the characteristics of pride is, number one, it is deceptive. It is deceptive. Obadiah 1:3 says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now, the truth is, pride can deceive us. The deceptive powers blinds us to the truth. It is the lens of the soul that distorts our vision of others, our vision of God, our visions of authority, our visions of self. This Pharisee in this story thought he was right with God, but Jesus Christ described the Pharisees as people being white as sepulchers, full of dead man bones. He's talking about how they look great on the outward appearance, but the inward appearance was so far away. And pride had destroyed them and destroyed their lives. This deceptive power has the birthplace of rebellion, which makes you believe a lie. And so tonight, when you consider pride, this is why we must take a good long look at what the Bible says and biblical principles says to help us understand whether or not we are prideful people. Is there something that you believe that you should not have to do for God? Is there something that you believe that you do not have to worry about when it comes to a certain sin? Is there a group of people that you feel like you do not need to reach out to? Is there something contrary in your life that you are living different than what the Bible teaches us? See, pride is deceptive. It's very good. You can sit in a pew for years and never see the greatest need in your life is to humble yourself. God talks about this in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where he talks about one of the ways that he will hear from heaven and he'll forgive sin is by humbling ourselves. So one of the first characteristics of pride is deceptive. Secondly, it is destructive. It is destructive. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." See, the giant sin of pride will destroy your testimony. It will destroy your service. It can destroy your marriage. It destroys your peace. It destroys your youthfulness. It destroys our church. And that list of things, it says it builds a barricade between you and God, because the sin that's in your life has deceived you into believing that you're right. But the sin that is in your heart, the sin of pride, puts a barrier between you and God that must be removed. And how does it get removed? Is by being of a broken and contrite, broken spirit and a contrite heart. Next thing I want you to see, not only is it deceitful and destructive, but it's also divisive. It's divisive. You say, what does that word mean? It means tending to cause disagreement or hostility between people. What pride does many times, it causes you to have friction and contention with others. Say, where do you see that in the Bible? The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. So where does contention come from? Where does the argument come from? It comes and it starts with someone being prideful. It is a source of wrong contention and a contentious spirit. There is a Peanut cartoon that says Linus is curled up in his chair. He's reading a book. And while Lucy is standing behind him with a funny look on her face, Lucy then says, "It's very strange. It happens by just looking at you." Linus says, "What happens?" Lucy calmly answers, "I can feel the criticism coming on already." He said, by just looking at Linus, holding that blanket, he says, it just drives him crazy to the point where the criticism was just building up and ready to go and be released. And when we have pride in our heart and pride in our life, it is a source of contention that we do not believe in being right with others. And instead, we look down upon others. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 21:24? Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The wrath found here in Scripture means as an outburst. It means that it flows out of you naturally because pride is floating within you. The word wrath means an overflowing fury, an outburst. And when we have pride in our heart and life, it is going to come out and show out at some point in time. It's going to burst out as our pride is unwilling to work with others. That is so much different than what the Bible says in John 7:38, where the Bible says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, what the Bible is saying there is that when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, what's going to be produced? The fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, kindness, meekness. All those things are going to be flowing out of you. But when you have pride in your heart and life, you know what flows out? A contentious spirit, wanting to argue, wanting to do other things. Pride, only by pride cometh contention. So we see three things there that are some of the characteristics of pride. I'd like you to also look at some of the characteristics of humbleness. Some characteristics of humbleness. And I think these are good things because you see to compare the two. The ones can deceive you. The one can destroy you. The other one, it can be divisive. But here, when you're humble, God says he's able to help you. When you're willing to humble yourself and willing to lay yourself underneath the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you. When you're willing to give of yourself and lay your pride aside and let God do the work in your heart, then God is willing to give you certain benefits. First thing, it says God lives with the humble. God lives with the humble. Look what it says in Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." That's a person who is able to dwell with God. If your heart is right and you're walking with the Lord, as we heard about Enoch today, he walked with God. Can you imagine that? How much we enjoy just walking and fellowshipping with someone, just taking a walk or sitting at a table and just spending time with one another. But imagine what we're talking about when we take the hand of God and we walk with the creator of the universe, the relationship possibilities that we have as we are willing to be humble and have a humble and contrite spirit. Second thing that is a characteristic of humbleness is God listens to the request of the humble. God listens to the requests of the humble. I don't know about you, but I need God to hear me. I know I need to hear from God, but God wants to hear from me. I want God to know my desires. I want God to know my requests. I want God to hear the things that I need because I can't make it on my own. I can't do things on my own. I'm not perfect. I never said I was perfect. I never said I was all-knowing. And as we make decisions that base off of our church and for our families, we need to hear from God. But how are we going to hear from God is by speaking to God. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 34:27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Judgment was coming to Israel. The king found the book, and when the book was found and was read, his heart was broken. He humbled himself. If he would have heard that book, as many kings had before in the past, and they put the book somewhere else in the temple where no one else would find it, they hid it away. It was covered in dust. Nobody else cared about it. Because of that, judgment was coming. But the judgment was stayed because of this young man who was willing to be tender and humble themselves. We need to understand that God listens to the requests of the humble. If we have a great need in our lives, pride tells us to get up and fix it ourselves. Humility tells us to go to God. Now, I'm not saying we always stay quiet, but I'm saying that we should go to God before we try to lean onto our own understandings first. The Bible says in Psalms 9:12b, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. If we are humble, God says in his word, he's not going to forget the cry. Next thing I want you to see is God loadeth the humble with benefits. God loadeth the humble with benefits. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. What kind of benefits can those who walk in humility expect? And the greatest answer is grace. We can expect the unmerited favor of God in our lives. The Bible tells us in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That word resistive means is that you're actually opposed to God. It's in a fact that you're standing opposed to him, in opposition to him, in a fighting factor. When you have pride in your life, that's God saying, I'm going to resist you. Until you can get your heart right, until you can humbly lay yourself before me and say, God, whatever it is you want, God says he is resisting you. I know we need God on our side, don't we? We don't need to live a life where God is resisting us. Instead, we need God to be hearing from us, and we need to hear from God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Fourth thing that is a characteristic of humbleness, it says God lifts up, exalts and promotes the humble. Say, Pastor, I get what you're saying, but I want to be the best, the biggest. You know what the Bible says? The greatest way up is down on our knees. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, you might get someplace in this world, but what's a good part of getting someplace in this world that lasts 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years? But in the kingdom of God, we can be exalted. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If we're looking to be lifted up, we need to allow God to lift us up. Last but not least, the characteristic of humbleness, God likens the humble to the truly great. You truly want to be great in this world. God doesn't say it's the president. God doesn't say it's the most talented professional athlete. God says true greatness is found in Matthew 18:4. Says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is what the Bible is saying to us. This is what God is saying, that we need to learn how to lower ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let him lead and direct in our lives. Not let pride direct us, but instead allow God to direct us. Humility can be attained only by an honest evaluation of who we are and who he is. As we get ready to close, it is a simple message tonight. Are we more like the Pharisee or are we more like the publican here? There are many people who come to the house of God. They come to the house of God for many different reasons. Some come to look down on others. Some come to proclaim the good things that they've done. Some want to know how well they look or how well they're doing. There are others who come to church, others who come to God, looking and searching for God's help. But who is the one that finds mercy? Who is the one that has the help in this story? It is him who is willing to humble themselves, to lay themselves on the altar and say, Lord, be merciful unto me. We need God's mercy in our life. We don't need to continue to have pride to the point where we think we're just fine and God doesn't need to do any work for me. And you know what? This message might go over certain people's heads. This message might not even affect others. But I think what the greatest thing we can do in our life tonight is to ask the Lord to show us any type of pride that we have in our lives. Because if we think there is nothing in our life that needs to change, we're in a whole mess of trouble. You know, but the worst people off are the ones who know they need to change and just refuse to do it. It's those who are pridefully looking at God and shaking their fist at God's face and saying, I know what you want, but what I want is more important. And that is what rebellion is. We need to learn to humbly say, God, I need you. We need to smote our chest and not even lift our eyes up to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Tonight, one of the greatest struggles that happens in churches like ours is we become prideful. And the need that we have today is to humble ourselves and allow God to exalt us up. You know, that little thing, brokenness versus pride, how many of us really care about the sin that's in our hearts and lives? It brings certain people to their knees. Others, they stand up and talk about the good things they've done, and they ignore the problems they have. That's what happened in this passage of Scripture. And that's what happens in many churches throughout our land and all throughout the world. When there's people who say, oh, that's good for somebody else, but that doesn't pertain to me. We all need to hear from God. We all need God's help. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I pray that tonight as we look at this message and this thought, am I a person that has pride? Or better yet, the question is,